As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman, along with John Senecal. It's the Wayne Gretzky episode number 99.
The Wayne Gretzky, after Aaron Judge just won the MVP.
Is he 99?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Oh, is he 99? This guy.
I could care less. I could care less. If I had a vote, I'd have voted for Ohtani.
You would have been the third person.
Right. That's 100% true.
The guy behind the guy.
Listen, to break it down, we'll talk about the MVP stuff. We'll talk about some free agent stuff as well on this episode, and we're lining up some guests. I mean, obviously, we'll have, you said that, what's his name, the young man who was in the Baltimore organization who retired?
Willie Young.
We'll get Willie Young, we'll get Rico Bronya, hopefully we'll get Bobby Dickerson as well, if you get a chance. I mean, what a run they had. This just came up short. They went up 2-1 in that series.
Houston's just too good. They were just too good.
It's just the team America loves to.
And you get that home field advantage, too. That sucks. You hate to be up against that.
Well, you don't want to go back if you're the road team. You don't want to have to win both of those 6 and 7. It's just it's impossible. But let's start off with the MVP. Paul Goldschmidt, I mean, I feel great for him. And he's had he's been around a long time. I mean, for him to do that at this juncture in his career, I think is completely impressive.
It's amazing how long he's been around. Like, he's been around, longer than Trout.
Yeah, I mean, he and to peak, and I don't know if it's because the lineup, insulated him a little bit, or I'm not really sure.
Hasn't he finished? I feel like he's finished in the top two, runner up twice now, I feel like, in his career.
Yeah.
And then in a way, I almost feel like he would have gotten less votes because Arenado finishing and taking so many votes away.
Right.
But I mean, no doubt he had such a great season. It's just he is such an unsung. He's like Jose Ramirez. Right, you don't ever talk about the guy, but he's always good. When has he not been good? When has Paul Goldschmidt not been good?
No, and he broke in, and he's obviously spent years and years with Arizona. Broke in 2011.
Well, that's Trout's rookie year, so he's the same age.
He's a career 295 hitter. I mean, he's not super over the top in any one category necessarily, but in the National League, although you can't discount it anymore. I was thinking about this. 35 home runs and 115 in the NL. I feel like the way the offense pre-DH was lighter in the NL, it's not really going to – those numbers are going to even out between the two leagues. It's not going to be the case. But we really don't –
And he wasn't playing for Colorado or anything like that. I mean, he
– Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say.
He's had a very steady career.
He's had a great career. He's a great player. Boom, done. Let's go over to Judge because we obviously – are figuring out what...
This is the biggest debate I think everyone had is because Ohtani is the two-way, right? Everybody loves the two-way player, which he almost needs his own award.
Well, it is interesting when you talk about value. I think actually, listen, Aaron Judge deserves the... I mean, and no one's going to argue that he doesn't deserve the award. But I do think Ohtani is one of the best baseball players to ever live.
Yeah, it's
right?
A wording thing. It's the most valuable.
Where would the Yankees be without Judge?
Nowhere. They would have been awful.
And the Angels were awful anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, the only one I really remember is, I think Cal Ripken won the MVP when the Orioles finished in last or something like that. And it was a big controversy because it sort of, people thought it prostituted the meaning of the award. But when you hit .311 with 62 home runs, 131 RBIs, and your OPS is over 1,100, I mean.
And the biggest thing, no errors.
And you brought that up the other day.
Unbelievable.
I had no clue.
No clue. And to think about, you played center field at Yankee Stadium and around the rest of baseball and right field. Not a throwing error, not a fielding error, not charging a ball, not bouncing off your glove. It's unbelievable.
So it really goes back to this. There has been no news of him signing. And I'm curious of what you think that quiet means. I mean, the collusion between the Mets and the Yankees, I mean, that
was... You have something to talk about, right?
Well, I mean, it's interesting in the sense that personal relationships... I mean, Steve Cohen's a competitive dude. And you know that there was a part of him for a while that's like, should I? And at some point, he made the personal decision not to do that to Hal Steinbrenner. And whether they get put up on baseball suspension, whatever the investigation is, I have no doubt that he, you know, gave Hal a call and said, listen, I'm not going to do this to you. I just want you to know. And that's that. But I'm more interested in the quiet. What does the quiet mean?
I just think it means that it's early. That's all. I mean, how often do you see big time free agents sign before Thanksgiving?
Well, why wouldn't you go for it early?
Cashman said they made an offer since spring training to Judge. I think they made it during the season. I don't think they made it after the season. But again, we talked about this. You wonder, you know, do you lay in the weeds and wait and see what he has to offer from other teams? It's such a slippery slope, I feel like. I feel like the Yankees just have to come out and just offer him something and he can't refuse.
Right, like now. I just feel like in Rizzo, the signing of Rizzo to the 2-year deal, I mean, Rizzo is openly.
I mean, for all we know, he could already be coming back to the Yankees for all we know. And it could just be a matter of him saying, like, I want to announce it in December when my family is all in this spot. I know they were sitting when they made the announcement, they're sitting in some home theater, but who knows how it works? I mean, I have such a hard time believing he is not coming back to the Yankees. I just do. I just have, like, the puzzle is so perfectly aligned for him to play and be a Yankee out in the stadium, out in the Monument Park, the whole nine. I mean, I'm just beating a dead horse
here. Right. But I do think if San Francisco comes in with something big and if it's a sign at all costs, I mean, there's a couple teams out there that could make the Yankees miserable.
I think the Yankees will get outbid money-wise, but I think it's going to come down to what Aaron Judge wants, what he wants to be his legacy about. Does he want to set the home run record in the AL and play for the Yankees and all of a sudden go run off the San Francisco Giants? Yeah, the San Francisco Giants have been a great organization, but they're not the New York Yankees.
It's not like Brady where you're going to go to a team for like 3 years.
Right.
He's going to go somewhere for 5 or 6 years where it's going to be a split
cap. NFL quarterbacks are such a different
thing. No, but the point is I'm just making a comparison because he's not going somewhere there for a cup of coffee.
No.
Where he might end up, depending on what happens in the playoffs, if he goes somewhere else and wins a World Series, he might end up being defined by that team.
Right. Aaron Judge is not signing a 1 year with an option.
No, that is not even my point.
My point
is he's going somewhere for a long time, and if he does well there, he will be defined by there,
right,
and not here.
Not the Yankees.
And that's the problem for the Yankees. I just think that there's when you talk about this silly money, I guess it's because maybe it's just the frugality of my mindset. Like, I just can't even Judge. Like,
nobody's worth that.
I just don't. And does it hurt your ability?
Anybody that gives Aaron Judge a contract for 8 years, right, knows that he's not going to be valuable for probably 4 years of that deal.
Right.
He's just his age. He is past his prime for a Major League Baseball player. The way it's defined nowadays, a 32-year-old, about to turn 32-year-old player is past their prime.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just how it works. I don't make the rules. It's just how the analytics played it out.
Yeah. So they have to do it. And I'm just, you know, I just can't stand that there's nothing really interesting.
I think it's a Yankee 6 years. I would just say 6 years, $300 million. Give him 50 a year. And then hopefully maybe some options on the back end. Or you give him a stake of the team. You gake him the captain. Him and New York are a great fit. We all know that. He's not going anywhere.
I just think putting a C on his jersey is not the same as millions. I do think that the way modern athletes work, if you go from the LeBrons, and, you know, baseball stars are not on the same level as football and basketball. They're just not. And I think the equity stake is something that would be, I mean, you don't mess around with it. You're worth $5, $6, $7 billion.
And you give them a little percent.
If you give them 1%, that's a lot of money. We're talking, you know, that's $50 million right there.
Yeah.
So
there's ways around everything.
But I do think that would appeal to somebody like him. That's what I mean. Like, if you want to look at yourself as like a global brand, you're part owner of the New York Yankees for life.
Exactly.
And I think that's up. But would
everyone
they do
made
that?
Such a big deal about Jeter owning like 0.89% of the Marlins, right?
Right.
Imagine owning 1% of the New York Yankees.
Be incredible.
Yeah.
And I mean, it goes to the next question before we get into anything else, which is, do you think the Steinbrenner family will ever give up the team? Because there were rumors that Hal might sell. It doesn't really love baseball. Nobody's in the pipeline to run it.
Yeah.
But it's such an asset.
I mean, I think it really comes down
what
to...
What did he pay? George paid $10 million?
Yeah, it was something like that, 8 or 6. Or it was not more than $12 million. I mean, to answer your question, I think it just really depends on can they keep it in the family. I think that's very important to them because it's always been associated with the Yankees, modern day Yankees. Obviously, right. Since he bought it, what was it from CBS or something? He bought
it was
from
like early 70s.
Yeah. So it's, you know,
it's not worth $6 billion, but it would go. Listen, if the Washington Commanders go for $6 billion, the Yankees would go for $8
billion. Oh, the Yankees should be double that. Freaking Commanders.
Well, the Commanders are surprisingly the top five most valuable franchises.
But I mean, they're
sports.
The Commanders. So are the Cowboys. And nobody cares about them except
for. Well, you don't care about them. You don't care about them. A lot of people do.
Yeah, a lot of people care about the Cowboys. But getting back to the selling the team, right? To answer your question, if they can keep it in the family, I think they keep it in the family. I think that's an important thing to them. And obviously, they're going to die off. And if there's no one, they got to have kids, I would hope, or somebody with the name. But if not, maybe the last parting thing is to sell the team. Somebody's going to buy it, or some conglomerate will buy it.
Of course. There's so many wealthy people, individuals. Look at what Steve Cohen did. I mean, there's plenty of people that want something else to do that have, you know, billions and billions.
And who is the right person to sell it to? I mean, I don't think you sell it to Jeff Bezos and turn it into a barcode.
No, but Bezos, I think, will buy the Commanders. I do. I think he will. But anyway, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And, you know, just looking at the general, like, broaden out the free agent market. You know, when I talk about Xander, which there's really nothing to report other than I wonder what his value is. I mean, Trey Turner, Carlos Correa, even Dansby Swanson.
Going back to what you said before about Judge, right? If they wait and these guys start getting plucked, where's your plan B? Because I would think a Yankees plan B, if Judge leaves, would be someone like a Trey Turner. Even if Judge stays, I would think the Yankees would want to target someone like that if they can afford it. I mean, they want to pay for it.
Well, the problem with the Yankees is if they give them $50 million, to what degree does it constrict them in other places?
Right. And I mean, no, they can afford it, but do they want to pay it?
Well, I mean,
do they want to pay the taxes and all the draft pick crap that's associated with it now?
But you can really, if you can poo-poo the luxury tax stuff, but that's really like...
But it's big bucks
You're just adding to the...
And it's not just that. You lose depth in draft picks now, too. Like, you'll go from the third pick to the second round pick if you spend too much.
But my point is that, you know, I'm not going to restate the point about Xander being worth more to the Red Sox than other teams, but like the longer somebody like Xander stays out there, I think the worse it is for his market. Now, I'm just curious if there's any other free agents out there. So you think there would have to be a big countersigning if they lost Judge? And I would say that there's no countersigning if they lose Judge. I mean, there's no offset there.
There's no way that the Yankees are going to lose Aaron Judge and their fan base is going to be like, all right, cool, let's roll into next season. Because they didn't have anything other than Aaron Judge this season, right?
You want to hear something funny? Out of all the outstanding left fielders in free agency, including Benintendi, Joey Gallo has the highest WAR.
Yeah, I don't think we're out there. Yeah, I would bring Jason. No, 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 I would bring Jason Dominguez up before saying, I would have Joey Gallo.
It's really funny that that's the case, and I don't really.
He does walk a lot, right?
I'm not a huge. You know, I'm still haven't completely converted to all the Moneyball stats, but I mean, is there anybody? Say you get Judge and you're essentially the same team, so you have to add somewhere. And even if you bring up, you know, one or two of the young kids, they're not necessarily going to be
Depends. If you add Judge and you want to spend the money, you go after that. Trey Turner is a difference maker. You slot him in the top of your line and put him at short. And then the Yankees have versatility. You can move those other guys around or trade Glaber. Glaber's still young. I'd probably hold on to him. But you have versatility to trade. Donaldson's a thorn. LeMahieu, if he's healthy, can fill all those roles and slot around the infield. Rizzo's back for two more years. You
got to listen. I don't care about the health.
If you go for an outfielder, you could look at Benintendi, I guess, and try to bring him back, and maybe he liked his time in New York. You could try to bring up one of your younger players. I mean, I think Florial, his ship has sailed. I mean, Jason Dominguez is probably too young for the standards. You could look and trade in the trade market.
Available, like. Brandon
Nimmo is a good on-base guy. He gets on base a lot. He'd be a good choice. It just really depends on what happens with Judge, I think. If Judge stays and they give him $50 million a year, that's going to There's hamstring not a, you a little bit. Not a,
I don't see outside of like the shortstop position.
No, there's not.
Not a lot out there,
and
there's not a lot worth going after.
And I think that's why everyone's talking about the shortstops again, because you know Correa's back in the fold because he opted out. So you look at they keep talking about Philly that wants a shortstop. So they're thinking Bogarts or Turner or Correa, one of those three. So you think they'll take one of those three?
Really interesting because I think Bogarts. One of the places he would fit is Philly.
Yeah, I think he would fit good.
Because there's not a lot of offensive pressure for him to produce. And he is like a 10 out of 10 in the locker room, right? In the clubhouse. Where, I mean, I'm not saying Correa's not. Correa's impressed me a little more. I mean, I just lump him in with Houston, so I haven't really given him a chance. But like by all accounts, he's solid.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about Trey Turner, so
I would say Trey Turner for your value is probably the best out of all of them. He won't hit as many home runs, but you know he's younger.
He's just a great baseball player.
He's just so fast. He's just a very dynamic player. Gets on base, hits fair average. He does hit like 20-something home runs.
So prediction before we go, when do you think we'll get news? Do you think it'll be in the new year?
I think it'll be Christmas time for Aaron Judge. I think it will go into that. I don't think it's going to be one of those New Year things. I don't think it's going to drag that far, but I think it will be. But is that going to set off the dominoes? Is everyone going to wait until he signs? A lot of times that's how it works. They wait till
the
free agent
to set the market.
Obviously, I don't think anyone's getting paid what Aaron Judge is going to get paid. I mean, DeGrom might come close, and Verlander might come close.
I wouldn't give one of those guys.
No, but if Scherzer's $43 million, right. Somebody's going to give them that money. You know that. You know someone's going to pony up $40 million for Verlander. Even if it's a one-year deal. He just came off a Cy Young. Who cares? They don't care. The baseball is so driven by what you just did. It's insane.
Man, I wish I was a good baseball player.
Look at these guys like Michael Harris who won the NL Rookie of the Year. That dude hasn't even played at all, and he just signed like an 8-year, $98 million contract.
But you know what? Atlanta's so smart, though.
Because they are smart.
Even if a couple of those guys don't pan out, If you lose the 3 years on a Judge contract, that's $150 million. If you lose the last 3 years on that contract, it's, you know, 50.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a big difference.
I wonder what the deal with these contracts is going to be when the tax man and the deferral man starts coming. Because the money that's being deferred in all these contracts now is insane. I mean, some of these guys do you think Bobby Bonilla is getting paid? There's guys that are going to be getting paid like $10, $15 million a year 10 years, 15 years from now.
Good for them.
Right? But that's crazy because everyone's saying payroll. But, I mean, you think some of this deferred money on this payroll is going to be increasing close to $100 million for some of these teams.
Yeah. In some ways, because I think that the game has been really hurt by the economics, whereas like the economics haven't really hurt football, in my opinion, but I think baseball's been hurt by the economics.
Well, the guaranteed contract.
But I think at some point, it wouldn't be great if it all blew up. I mean, they're obviously still printing money, but the thing that would change the dynamic—
Oh, FTX was one of their sponsors.
will be when a TV contract isn't for more than it was in the past.
Right, when they give up on the TV.
That's when you can see the freak out on the salary side. As long as the revenues continue to go up, they'll continue to spend more.
Yeah.
It's when the revenues don't go up. I mean, look at the Red Sox. The Red Sox act like a small market team now. They do promotions all over the place, all this and that. I mean, it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me mad, but that's because they stopped making as much money and they need to find ways to juice the revenue. So that's the only thing that I see to change the rhythm of more and more salaries is if the TV money, ESPN or Fox.
Well, at some point, you got to say enough is enough. I mean,
I would hope so.
How much can you get these guys?
But every time I've thought that over the last 25 years.
I remember the first, what was it, million, first 2 million, first 4 million. It was like, holy cow, Jose Canseco's getting $44 million a year. And next thing you know, people are going to make $50 million
a year. Crazy. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This has been episode 99. It's pretty amazing what started in the boredom of the pandemic.
On a Zoom call. It wasn't even a Zoom call. It was like StreamYard.
It was just crazy.
We haven't had many technical issues or anything. It's been pretty.
No, well, you're good on the tech side. You do all that stuff.
I try to do it.
I don't do any of that stuff.
I like this format better than sitting in a Zoom or next to each other with a green screen in a basement.
Yeah, it's come a long way. And I'm really excited for the winter. We got to start lining people up. We got yeses, but we just have to put them on the – the holiday season's tough because people want to do it. It's just a question of when you're going to do it. So right. We'll get those people lined up for you.
It's nice to have them in the studio too. That's what we try to do because it's more intimate, right?
Yeah, Willie and Rico will come in. Rico's not a morning guy. Yeah. I like to record in the morning. And Rico's Savannah,
the banana guy would be good.
Yeah, he said yes, but the question is, he's coming home to Connecticut in the holidays, Jackson Olson, question of like, you know, when is he coming and when can we do it? So I'll have to loosen up my morning record because Rico's like, I don't know if I can get there at 9 o'clock. It's pretty funny.
It'd be nice to hear his perspective on how, you know, doing all the coaching and because he was doing it during the pandemic too, didn't he?
I also want to talk to him about the minors and the lifestyle now that the people are paying more attention to it and getting more money because he was a bonus baby, but not a huge bonus, but he was in A-ball, you know, with money, whereas other guys were getting just the per diem and the weekly, you know. So it's interesting how far it's come. And
you don't hear many players coming out and complaining, so it's interesting to see – it get better? And now they're in the Major League Baseball Players Association.
Which is great for them. And if they're given $50 million Aaron Judge, I think they should be given
more. It does all trickle down, right?
It should. It should. It should.
To the little people like us, Brian.
Exactly. We'll talk to you next time.
Buy the merch.
On Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.